Good morning, Seattle, Washington. Good morning to my friends in the great Canadian province of Alberta. Good morning to the whiskey travelers of the Rocky Mountains, to the old hobo kings of Hoboken. It is Christmas Eve, if you can believe it. Good morning. It is December the 24th, 2020, right around 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's called the morning, you fuck. If you're not already up running and jogging and exercising and walking your dog while wearing your monkey mask, if you're not already up digging your row and hunting your hoe, if you're not already up and awake and chasing your own sideways self backwards down the broken alleyways of this rusty, dusty, crooked, hell-shown, hell-strewn, hell-hewn city, what the fuck's wrong with you, man? Why haven't you gotten the glisten? You could have the glisten just like everybody else if you put on a smiley face. You want the glisten like me? Do you want to spray the spready diamond dusty awareness of all the lovely sugary dreams of tomorrow across a moonlight sky of deep blue Milky Way madness? Do you want to jump in your rocket ship called Possibility? Jump in that fucking rocket ship, bro. I don't care. You know, I'm just going to drink my Sanka and watch as your ship explodes. A friend of mine, believe it or not, I have a couple friends here and there. I have one or two friends. Some of them live in the caves off of Hawaii. A friend of mine sent me an article. I will leave you to read the article. I don't need to read for you. You can read. I know you can read. Yeah, a friend of mine sent me an article. And the article dealt with the fact, and let me just summarize the article, because you probably read an article just like this one in your own local newspaper. And if you haven't read it yet, you probably will, because it's a mindfuck article. It has nothing to do with whatever you think the news is. It has everything to do with fucking your brain. But a friend of mine sent me a link to an article, and the core message of the article is that even though if you drive by a hospital, it probably looks like there is no pandemic, there is no crisis, there are no waiting lines to fucking have your blood drawn by dancing nurses. The article basically says, if you drive by the hospital and it looks like nothing is happening, your eyes are deceiving you. that's right. In some podcasts in recent months, I've talked about this notion of primary truth. And primary truth, even though it sounds ominous and certain, is still squishy because it involves people. For example, let's say you're walking in the desert, okay? You're walking in the desert and you get lost, fuck. You're almost out of water, shit. And then after a day of walking without water, knowing that in another 2 days you'll probably be dead, you see a lake in the distance. You see a beautiful blue lake, and you can even imagine hooker queens bathing there topless. You imagine it, you think it, you see it, and you get closer, and the lake looks crisper and cooler and filled with more busty hookers, maybe. That's right, brothers and sisters, you're walking across a great desert. Okay, and if you want to, you can think of this as a Gedanken, which is a fancy word for a thought experiment, or it's also a hypothetical, probably not a counterfactual. Because counterfactuals usually deal with a real event. For all of you trolley problem people out there, yeah, the trolley problem. I'll talk about that soon, you fuck. The trolley problem. You're in the desert, you're walking, you're out of water. In a day or two, you're going to die of thirst because that is what kills you, okay? The first thing in a crisis that will kill you, ultimately, is your brain not working. And when I say your brain not working, I'm not just referring to the fact that your brain is metabolizing and your brain is absorbing oxygen and your brain is working. I'm talking about not just the computer, but the program the computer is running. The knowledge you have, the wisdom, the shit you learned from your teachers in public school that will help you so well in the desert now. You remember that class you had on masturbation amongst transgendered elitist nuns? That's gonna really fucking help you as you die of thirst, you fuck. That's right. Yeah, all those stupid classes you had on reverse vampire lesbian activity in Berlin in 1925, fuck. That's not going to help you find water. That class you had on transcendental Marxism during the time of the Willypeets, that's not going to help you survive the desert. I'm sorry. Actually, no offense to all the morons out there, but reading the Bible will help you more in terms of survival than all the stupid shit you learn getting your PhD in backward reverse uncle ape transgender gender studies. That's right. You don't believe it because you don't want to believe it. Because it would be inconceivable. Anywho, you're in the fucking desert. And you're thirsty. And you're getting close to death. And you see what looks like a lake in the distance. Until you get there, you really don't know, though, do you? It's kind of like outer space. A friend comes up to me and says, look, Dan, look, there's outer space. And I'd say, yes, it looks amazing. But until I've actually been there, and this is not what I usually tell my friends, until I've actually been to space, I do something that I think is critical to do in this life. And whenever I don't do it, that's usually when things get fucked up. I reserve judgment. And when I say judgment, of course, you could immediately go to a moral stance and assume I'm talking about the judgment of morality. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the final adjudication of whether something is true or false. That thing you think is in front of you, that you think is a lake, that you think is going to feed the body with water that it needs, might just be something that's called a mirage. It might be an illusion. These are things that happen. When you're driving on a highway in the summertime and, you know, the sun cooks up the surface, in the distance you'll see things that look like lakes on the highway, but they're not. It's just gas. It's just the air being heated up. It's just materials vaporizing off the surface. It is an illusion. So when I say primary truth, I'm not saying everything you see is true, unless, of course, you understand how to interpret it. That's what I mean by primary truth, okay? The lake in the desert doesn't really exist until you get there. I'm not trying to be a dick, but that's reality. You can watch all the fucking rocket ships take off on a fucking SpaceX, Tesla, Elon Musk, dildo to the galaxy fucking video. You can watch all those fucking videos. And please don't be offended, but till you get to outer space, I would reserve judgment. And until you actually have the water you need, I would reserve judgment. I would be still looking for the truth. This article my friend sent me is basically telling people that their ability to see the world doesn't really function, which means you have no way of determining the truth. You look at the hospital, it looks like the parking lot is empty, it looks like nothing is going on, but what the fuck do you know unless you go inside? But you can't go inside without killing the cat, right, Schrodinger? You can't go inside. Schrodinger's dead patient. We just redid Schrodinger's thought experiment in the spirit of 2020. Schrodinger's dead COVID patient. And I know I slurred that, but I like my slur better, patient. Yeah, Schrodinger's dead patient. You don't know. You don't know, and you can't know, because you know why? You don't have a right to know. This is not about the news, folks. This is about eating away at your ability to reason about the world. I don't care if your hospital is busy or slow. This is something that can be determined with observation. This is something that can be determined on a deeper level using something called operational science. You can actually analyze the data and figure this shit out. Several months ago, I sent basically an information request to the primary air ambulance company, you know, air ambulance business organization for Harborview, which is the primary level one trauma center in the Pacific Northwest. I think level one is correct. Anywho, I put this information request out there, you know, and I got nothing. I got fucking coyotes. I got crickets. You know why? Because if they actually answered the question about helicopter flights, I could probably prove that all things being equal, the total number statistically matches last year or is less. You know what I haven't seen yet fly into Harborview? And believe me, I wouldn't just see one. I would see a bunch of them. And by the way, during the fires in 2018, I saw these things come in. And, you know, I am an old air defense officer. I'd see Chinooks. Chinooks that basically the Army and the Air Force use as a kind of mobile surgical hospital these days. I'd see fucking Chinooks coming in to get supplies. I would see Chinooks. Not just the regular air ambulance copters, you fuck. I haven't seen one fucking Chinook yet. Now, does that mean no Chinooks have landed? No, that would be false. But here's the thing. Because of where I live, because of the direction my window points, I would at least see one if this thing was nearly as bad as they say it is. And like I said, the last Chinook I saw come into Harborview was in the summer of 2018. Maybe 2019 during the fires as well. During the fires. An actual thing. But remember, you can't trust your ears. You can't trust your eyes. You can't trust your reason. This is perfect. If they get people between the public school system and all this propaganda about what you can't know, people are ready for almost anything. A Christian told me today that as a Christian, it's okay to reject the whole Old Testament. That's right. Reject it all. Reject the whole thing. Which would also mean reject the prophecy that's in the Old Testament that foretells the coming of Jesus Christ. Because, by the fucking way, logically, historically, and otherwise, most of that prophecy is in the Old Testament. Of course, I should not endeavor into theology and my faith in Christ while using coarse language. I shouldn't. But this is not a service. This is a little Saigon report. And I'm talking about people in the real world right now doing stupid shit. Some motherfucker told me that as a Christian, you can reject the whole Old Testament. How is that possible? But I will say this, given how I found that information out, where I found it out, and it was on social media. Yeah, social media. What a monkey fuck. That tweet, that Facebook post, that shit you see on Minds or some other stupid fucking site. Well, I'm on Parler. You know what? I created an account on Parler to test that shit out. I was instantly shadow banned. Yes, tell me about Parler again, really. I should say, tell me about the site that's probably funded indirectly by Mossad. Yeah. Damn, there's a social media site where they don't shadow ban, they don't censor. Not on the Death Star, bro. I wish I could, I could bring R2-D2 on my show, and he could explain to you that once you plug into the network on the Death Star, you're fucked. He wouldn't say it like that, he'd say bloop, bloop, bleep, bleep, but I'm telling you, that translates as plug into the network on the Death Star, plug into the worldwide Vader, and you're fucked. And yes, he can reach out at you with his hand, his death hand. If you're on Twitter with Darth Vader, you might be in trouble. That's right, you're on Twitter and you're currently tweeting to Darth Vader. And he just sent you an Instagram showing his fist in the air as if he's holding your neck like a chicken. Don't tweet to Vader. Don't tweet to Vader. Don't tweet to Vader. It's not a good idea. Tweet the Vader. Don't do it. Anywho, you can read the fucking article, but I'm sure you've had one in your own newspaper that tells you that just because you drove by a hospital and you looked at it and it looked like nothing was fucking going on doesn't mean there isn't an incredible worldwide dancing nurses, fucking electric boogaloo breakdancer 17 pandemical nightmare going on in the inside. It could be, It's a thought experiment. It's a thought experiment in a thought experiment. You wandered through the desert. You got to a hospital. You saw it was empty. But a motherfucker outside said, listen, if you give me $5, I'll sell it to you. It's so many questions, so many tests. But here's the deal, folks. The dude outside probably can't sell it to you for $5. And if it looks like a duck and talks like a duck and smells like a duck and walks like a duck, it doesn't mean it's a duck, but there's a good chance it's not a walrus. Probably not a walrus, though, is it? Next topic. There's a lot of talk these days about battles between the ancient lesbian tribes. I know, I've been stirring shit up. The ancient lesbian tribes of Yorbos. Word is Queen Haru will lead an august assembly of wastrel Ming's hookers towards the eastern wall of the city. That's someplace, you know, near Bellevue. And all you can say is we cannot have more of this poop jargon. Why don't you be happy with the slurry you get? Why don't you be happy with the can of crumuli you get? Why do you tell me you can't eat more of the poop jargon? It's what the Cherokee called second harvest. You will get the poop jargon of the rich people, and it will give you the energy to fight the witches and the lesbians and the hooker armies and the giants of the East. But don't question. Accept the poop jargon. It's got vitamins. It's far more nutritious than eating your French bulldog. For dishwashing, when I wash my dishes, I usually use the whore juices of Ballard. They collect in the sewers and then the grease cauldrons of the sectors east and west of that bar you met your ex-wife at. You don't want more poop jargon. You don't want to wash the dishes with horror juices. Then why don't you leave Seattle and go someplace where you might have a chance at a life? That's what I usually say. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, and I believe it is interesting. Compassion can fuck up. Communism just kills people. Compassion can fuck up. Communism just kills people. What does that mean? Okay. So every once in a while on social media, you'll run into these types. I don't know what to call them because there's not a good word. I don't even believe they're real. I've met a few anarchists. Okay. I've met a few people who I would call radical for freedom. They tend to be people with big open hearts who want to believe, who want to have faith in their fellow human being. They don't really tend to be these sort of quasi-autistic fucking Dr. Knows who want to build atomic islands and poison the planet. They tend to be the best people I've met. And this includes people who might not even be anarchists, just people, I'm a libertarian, I'm a small government Republican, although I don't know how a person can maintain that in their head these days. But there are people out there, you know, who believe in freedom. And for the most part, what I've discovered is that they're some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And I've met a few communists. You know, I went to the University of Washington, you fuck. And if you've gone to the UW in the last 100 years, you met a few fucking communists. I even took a class on Marxism. I took a couple classes on Marxism. Yes, I was going through a phase. It's called loneliness. It's just that the green sweater women, and let's get that out of the way too. There's a class of women at the UW who came into existence between the year 1975 and the year 2000. And they're called green sweater women. They wear these cardigan or button sweaters that are nasty green over an outfit of polyester black and cotton made by people who supposedly are getting paid, but they never really think it through. And in general, you could say they're emo or goth, but in reality, they're the green sweater women, and I wanted to date one. I ended up marrying one. Well, I won't go there. No, but I wanted to date a green sweater because she had nice size boobs. That's right, I wanted to date a green sweater woman. And, yeah. So I took a couple of those Marxism classes, but I'll tell you something. It's not perfect. It's not a clean set. It's more probability than, you know, cardinality. But what I have discovered in this life, anecdotally, as a kind of primary truth, is that mostly, not definitively, but mostly, the communists and Marxists I've met are real shitbirds. Real pieces of crap. Scuzzy, shitty, nasty, miserable, sociopathic, dead-eyed pieces of shit. Most of the people I've met in the freedom movement, and I try to discern the people who believe in it from the people who are just trying to, you know, shill for it and make a dime off of it. Most of the people I've met have been pretty decent people. In fact, I don't even know if I'd be alive right now if it weren't for the fact that people in the freedom movement decided to donate some money to me in the last couple of years and give me the difference between having food and not having food and having money to send the landlord, even if it's not enough to pay the full rent, versus having nothing to send the landlord. I don't think one fucking communist would help me ever. In fact, the only help I got from communists last summer was scorn and dismay and stupidity and confusion. What I got was a bunch of freaks marching up and down 12th Avenue making noise in stylish Microsoft black t-shirts. Yeah, Black Lives Matters. Banker Lives Matter, okay? If you don't know what BLM is or was or still is, you are completely clueless. But here's the deal. Caring about people, being concerned about people, does not make you a weak person. It makes you a person. Being able to solve interesting problems as teams, this requires understanding people's emotional state. It requires giving a shit. In fact, the closer you work with people voluntarily in an environment as a team, the more you have to give a shit. Now, if you tell me, well, Dan, I don't need teams and I don't need communities. I can live like Dr. No on an island someplace. Then God bless you if you want to do that. As long as you don't fuck with me, as long as you're not going to build a giant super bomb and kill everybody, I don't give a fuck, Dr. No. You can live out your fucking classically defined, perfected, Ayn Randian, corrupted objectivism on an island in the South Pacific, I don't give a fuck. Okay? But most of the people I've met in the freedom movement are actually the opposite. In fact, they care about each other. It pisses them off. It's not just a question of wanting to be entrepreneurs and make money. If you think that's what it's all about, you just don't fucking understand. It's about the connection, the voluntary human connection, the good and the bad. The scratchy, the creepy, the cranky, the angry old man that shows up for his donut at 6 a.m. but you don't have it ready yet. I'll tell you what, that angry old man, the one that bothers you, the one that's angry that there isn't a donut yet, you're probably the only person that person will talk to that day. Those people, even the ones you don't like that go to your restaurant or you fix their car at your auto shop. They still would prefer you were in business. That's reality. That's truth. You know what? Compassion and caring about your fellow human being is dangerous. Putting your trust in someone can be dangerous. I have made mistakes following my heart. But I would rather fuck up with giving a shit, okay? If I'm going to choose a strategy, human compassion versus communism, I would rather fuck up individually and make mistakes that punish my own damn self than put other people's resources at risk. Because from each according to their ability to each according to their need basically means I point a gun at Peter and I make him pay Paul and me for the privilege of having a gun pointed at your fucking head. That is the privilege. It's a privilege, Dan, to have cops. It is, really. It's a privilege to have a gun pointed at your fucking head. It's a privilege to have people thrown in jail for crimes that have no discernible victims. And I include crimes that involve the banks, because you know what? You can't really commit a crime against a bank at this point. They are so corrupt, so evil, so far down Jacob's ladder to hell that it's hard for you to imagine what crime you can commit against a bank. It's like saying you sinned against the devil. You cannot sin against the devil, and I'm not really sure there is a moral argument for any crime against a fucking bank. But I can tell you this, if the crime doesn't have a fucking victim, and by the way, banker corrupt bullshit has millions of victims, but they never really go to jail, do they? Let's table that for now. But if your fucking crime doesn't have a victim, then that's right. They don't belong in jail. Anywho, I'm going to go on the next topic because I'm going all over the place. But compassion is okay. It's not perfect. Caring about your neighbor is okay. Wanting to help somebody is okay. You will fuck up. But then there'll be times when you don't. And I'm not saying people that donate to my podcast or try to help me in the things I do aren't fucking up. Every day I wake up and I look in the mirror and I wonder to myself, what the fuck point is it that I'm still here? I wonder if the people who donate aren't also fucking up. I don't really know. You know the story of the lake in the desert? For the moment, you need to assume, especially if you've never met me, that I'm like that lake. I could be a real person. I could be a made-up person. I could get paid by George Soros to spout this bullshit. I don't wish that were true. I could use the money. I would not serve that piece of shit, but I could certainly use the money. But you don't know. You don't know. Your primary truth might be that Dan is real, imperfect, flawed, but a real person. Your primary truth might be that Dan is a complete shill. He's a construction. He doesn't exist in Seattle. He's someplace in Langley. I don't know, man. But if I am, I hope I'm married to a large-breasted green sweater woman. No, I don't, because they don't know how to have sex. If someone texts you, like sends you a text, and the subject came up on a social media platform, so someone was complaining that someone texted me and said, you called. Yeah. That's a stupid topic. I'm moving on. I've already talked about roads too much. I don't know. I hate talking. You know, amongst anarchists, the subject of roads is very interesting because it's kind of silly and it's atavistic and it's also not necessarily a good topic sometimes because it's too subtle for people to get. It's like a lot of human beings believe that the only way you can have a highway is if you have a government, and the only way you can have a government is if you have an army, and you got to pay the army, so you got to have taxes. That's essentially the line of reasoning. Can't have roads without armies and governments. Can't have armies and governments without taxes, you know. That sucks. But is that really true? Would there be zero roads on planet Earth if there was no government? Here's what I would contend. You would have the transportation people wanted. I'm going to let you in a little fucking secret. I don't fucking need an interstate highway system designed to support mobile ICBM platforms, because that's the real truth of the Eisenhower highway system. It was primarily a way to move troops and equipment and missiles around the country in the case of World War III. If you think it was to make your life more fucking convenient, oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't. And it's great for moving armies. It's no accident that the Romans loved roads everywhere. Make a road everywhere, because if you got a road, you can move an army. But damn, they didn't have cars. You know what? If you've never actually been in the military and you've never known the difference between marching on a road or marching across broken terrain, shut the fuck up. I have not been in combat, but I have had the joy of being on maneuvers in broken terrain versus simply fucking marching down a road. The road was a force multiplier for the Romans. The road enabled them to move their armies all around the peninsula of Italy so they could sack their neighbors. And when I say sack, I mean destroy. That's what the roads did. If you were a city-state neighbor of the Romans on the Italian peninsula in the 3rd century AD, excuse me, BC, in the 3rd century BC, if you were a fucking neighbor of Rome, do you really believe you'd want a fucking road to your location? You probably don't know the history, then, you fuck. People on the peninsula hated Rome. They hated Rome so much that when Hannibal came, a lot of them went to his side. They understood that a Roman road meant a Roman army, and a Roman army means Roman taxes and probably Roman murder. Roman taxes, Roman murder. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on the subject of roads, but what I would say is this: if we lived in a free world, we would probably have flying cars by now. If we lived in a free world, communities would be allowed to create themselves, not be told by some global cooperative about Plan 2021 and Agenda 2030 and the fucking bullshit here and bullshit there. In a free world, you would have millions, billions potentially, but millions of little communities around the world. And some of them would have roads between them because they trusted each other. And guess what? Some of them wouldn't. And that distance and that terrain and that lack of a road would actually mean you'd have more fucking peace. That's right. The more you have the roads, actually, even the more you trade, and this is especially when it's trade that's mediated by governments, which it usually is, the more you have these things, the more you have risk for war. That does not mean that free enterprise is bad. I love free enterprise. But mercantilist, imperial, broken-ass, crooked bullshit, which is the real history of international trade, that shit leads to war. Actual free trade between individuals without government, actual free trade, that probably does eventually lead to peace. But the kind of shit we call free trade is not free trade, guys. It's ironically named. Anyways, if you need your roads, fine. But I'm telling you, in a free world, you'll have more of what you need and a lot less of what you don't. Next topic, and perhaps the last topic for morning time, maybe close to the last, I don't know. Next topic. So I've been binge watching old Twilight Zone, and about a year ago, when I was watching my sister's French Bulldog, I binge watched old Outer Limits. You know, and Outer Limits was like a competitor. I think it came on a little bit later, but Outer Limits was kind of a competitor with the Twilight Zone on a different network, I believe. It was a similar format. You know, there were several of these types of shows back in the 50s and 60s, which was pretty cool because they became incubators for a lot of the science fiction writers of the 70s and 80s. They became a place where people got started, and including a lot of actors, you know, like William Shatner. Good old Willie. But there's a couple things you'll notice about old school Twilight Zone. One is that whenever you see an astronaut, they're almost always carrying a machine gun or a pistol. And I kind of like that because there's a certain kind of reality to that. Like, you know, come on, fuck, you know. You're going to run into problems. You're going to need that pistol. You're going to need that machine gun. I decided to watch this stupid fucking Netflix series that's a kind of reimagining of Lost in Space. During the first season, they're being attacked by basically monsters, by animals, stupid animals, but dangerous animals. And instead of printing guns, which they could do, and you had to have a special code to do, they decided to make spears. Spears. They got spaceships that look way more advanced than any of the shit in the old Twilight Zone. They have spacesuits that are more advanced, computers that are more advanced. They could print guns, but they decide to use spears. I wonder what kind of message is being sent there, fuckers. I wonder. It's weird. Another funny thing about old school Twilight Zone is they got a lot of the numbers wrong. Like, you know, there was this one episode where they're saying, yes, we're going to head to this new planet, a planet that's like, you know, like our own planet, and blah, blah, blah. It's 11 million miles away. Now, a lot of people, probably especially back then, had no real sense of scale. For example, the moon is roughly a quarter of a million miles away. 11 million miles from Earth might get you to a near-Earth object. Maybe it gets you to an asteroid. I have no fucking clue. But 11 million miles does not get you to another solar system. And that's the kind of shit. It wasn't just one episode. There are several of these episodes where they talk about the distances between A and B. And B is usually another star system. And it's like, yeah, that's 50 million miles away. We're 600 million miles in space. Folks, 600 million miles does not get you out of the solar system. Okay? 600 million miles, I don't know. This is in my head. I don't know if this is the case. But 600 million miles maybe gets you to the asteroid belt. Yeah, so being an astronaut on old school Twilight Zone and old school Outer Limits, and I say old school because these shows, like so many shows, and the derivative reuse, we don't believe in creativity because we're afraid of new ideas. Artistic culture of America circa 1970 till today. Yeah. Amongst these old school shows, being an astronaut was iffy. I mean, usually you'd land someplace, almost always, wherever you landed, especially if it was an asteroid, which is funny, it looks like Nevada. Everywhere you land as an astronaut in the Twilight Zone or Outer Limits looks like fucking Nevada. And on top of that, there's usually air you can breathe. And I don't think we've found one fucking asteroid in our solar system. that would have enough mass to maintain an atmosphere, let alone enough mass to have a kind of equivalent Earth experience. Some of them might look like Nevada. You know, if you ever landed on Mars, according to the pictures I've seen, according to that movie I saw called Mars, it looks a lot like the deserts of the Southwest. Probably completely random. Probably not at all the case. Probably it's really Mars. But so there probably are places that look like Nevada. But that doesn't mean you can step outside of your fucking spaceship and breathe. More I want to say about being an astronaut. Another thing too, you'd usually end up, if you met an alien, you got gaslit, you got mind fucked, you probably were either on the menu, or if you met an alien, you would fucking end up in a zoo. In a zoo. You land on Mars, you pop the door open, everybody says, Roddy McDowell, be optimistic about the people of the future. But as the title of the episode implies, people are the same everywhere, you fuck. And on Mars, if you land in the desert, Nevada, Vegas part of Mars, where people are dressed like old Romans and Greeks in slinky outfits, you might end up at the zoo, you fuck. On display for people to destroy. Or maybe you land on an asteroid and some creepy old dude tells you it's a cemetery. And at that point, you should fucking, like, maybe kill the creepy old dude. But instead, you decide, well, fuck, you know, we're from Earth and we're in space and we're, what, millions of miles away in another solar system. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. But some old creepy dude says he runs a cemetery. And you're in black and white and you're wearing these quasi-futuristic astronaut outfits. And everyone in the fucking town you visited is frozen. You don't drink champagne with that old fuck. In fact, the first rule of outer space, don't eat or drink anything they give you. Unless it's Romulan ale. I would say the first rule of any sketchy situation, and this isn't the rule of life, okay? This is just a good rule for sketchy situations. If you're not hungry, don't eat. If you're not thirsty, don't drink, okay? If you're in fight or flight, the worst thing you could do is fucking eat a cheeseburger, you dumb fuck. But if you're in a sketchy situation, don't take food or water or anything from anybody, including or especially your wife. You don't know why you're in that situation yet, you fuck. I'm kidding. I don't want to create more enmity than there already is. Anywho, yeah. Next topic. So, you remember Michael Jackson and how he died? Okay, you remember that shit? I remember reading that he had access to a drug. And it's not, I don't think it was fentanyl. It was something else. they'd mentioned fentanyl in the article. And if you don't know, fentanyl is like extreme, is an extremely powerful, in fact, really deadly opiate. Fentanyl is so strong, it can just kill you instantly. It's very strong, very dangerous. Fentanyl is given to late stage cancer patients. How do I know this? Because when my mom was dying of late stage cancer, she had all kinds of fentanyl. She had the fentanyl patches, she had the oral opiates, she had the fucking injectables. She was on every fucking happy drug at the end. And I say happy using sarcastic quotes because there's a point at which you're in so much pain and you're so drugged up that one could argue your soul is already halfway to heaven. But Michael Jackson had this drug, and it was a drug that only anesthesiologists can get, which tells you it's probably good. If someone says, Dan, this is a drug that you have to be a licensed anesthesiologist to get, or Michael Jackson, yeah, it's probably pretty good. I had read that he had access to a drug that only anesthesiologists could get, a very advanced drug that almost literally stopped or froze every cell in your body. Like, you didn't even need to breathe for so many hours. Like, he would just stop breathing. Now, I don't really believe this drug is real. It could be real. I'm sure I could get an email from a doctor who will show up on YouTube who will tell me, Dan, that's real and the COVID is real. But if there is a drug that only anesthesiologists can get that freezes all your cells, the other day I had a few panic attacks and I thought, fuck, I wish I had that one. The drug that freezes your cells. Michael Jackson. Anywho, I think I've covered all the topics we needed to cover for today. But before we close out, let's just remember that just because you see a lake doesn't mean there's water. Just because there's water doesn't mean you can drink it. Oh, I'm sorry. You think all the water that there is, you can just instantly drink? Boy, you're going to have a hard time, you post-Marxist modernist PhD candidate. Just because you can see the water and even drink the water doesn't mean it's going to be there tomorrow. Okay? Primary truth is real, but it's also facile. Because the world does change. Things change. Guess what? Lakes, believe it or not, sometimes drain. Okay? Swamps usually don't. Just as an FYI, swamps, unless you do it deliberately, are kind of just swamps. But lakes have been known to spontaneously drain. It's happened. It can happen. You can have a essentially like a sinkhole open up under a lake and the lake can get dumped out. It can flow away. You know, lakes can be destroyed, lakes can be created. Beavers and humans love to make lakes where there were none. And if you drive by a hospital and it looks like nothing is going on in there, there are virtually no cars in the parking lot. You don't see any helicopters coming in to speak of, except for maybe one a day. You might see one ambulance a day. If the hospital looks dead as fuck and nothing is going on, you can read the article I linked to and you can believe the bullshit they tell you, or you can just accept the possibility that you're being lied to. That there is no Schrodinger patient inside. That if you could go inside, you would find out that the inside reflects the outside. And you'd also find out this, that those TikTok nurses, the dancing nurses you see, they're probably not nurses. They're probably paid actors. You'd probably find that out too. Because I can't imagine any healthcare professional. It's hard for me to imagine an honest and decent healthcare professional dancing about this shit. There are good reasons to dance. At a wedding, you dance, okay? But You usually don't dance at a funeral. You usually don't. You ever think about that? You dance at a wedding, but you don't dance at a funeral? And then I want you to think about those fucking nurses and ask yourself, why the fuck are they dancing? Who are they about to marry? In the, I would say, in the mythical structure of the New Testament, there is this idea embedded that each of us, especially and specifically during the final end times, is to be married. We are as brides and grooms, but we are to be married, and specifically we are the brides, and we are to be married forever to God in heaven. Yeah. That's a reason to dance, okay? Marriage is a reason to dance. There are reasons to dance. Birthday parties. Hell, I know you may be too young to remember this, but there were these things called Christmas parties. There was this thing called Christmas before the grungly folk, like Grinchley Inslee, stole it away because they were doing too much cocaine. Yeah, you dance at a Christmas party. You dance because you're young. You dance because you're happy. I mean, I'm an old crusty hermit, but there are good reasons to dance. The death and destruction of your neighbor, that's not a good reason to dance unless you're a fucking Roman, unless you're a pagan piece of shit, unless your entire purpose in life is to support evil and murder. Then okay, maybe you commie satanic fuck, you probably do dance right now. But a lot of people out there who are treading water and just trying to survive, all they see in your fucking dance is a giant fuck you. And by the way, if you're one of these people that thinks this nurse dancing is a great idea, what do you think happens when people do reach their breaking point? Because most of the people are poor. Most of the people are scraping to get by. Most of the people are barely afloat, which means technically you're surrounded by people that are not happy about the dancing nurses. What do you think happens when their final fuse blows? You remember my dream from the other day? The other podcast about the plane crashing and then cracking open and spilling out firearms? It's a crazy, crazy dream. It's crazy. It's mad. It's insane. But I meant what I said at this point in Seattle, despite all the bullshit anti-gun rhetoric. If the giant floating head of Zardoz came over Seattle and started barfing up machine guns in Volunteer Park and Maple Leaf over in Ballard and fucking Belltown, I think a whole bunch of motherfuckers, and many of them for reasons that are justified, even though they should not do it, a lot of angry people would go and grab those guns, and they would immediately go to town, so to speak, in that figurative, euphemistic sense. What do you think happens when that final dance pushes people over the edge? What do you think happens? Merry Christmas.